Welcome to Ghosts in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today is a very special Halloween treat. I traveled to Erie, Pennsylvania on September 8th and also on October 15th. I was so intrigued with the tombstones there, the history of some of the bodies, how they were moved from one grave site to another, to the Erie Cemetery, and also the crypts inside the cemetery. This cemetery in Erie, Pennsylvania is over 75 acres, over 50,000 bodies in the neighborhood of death, as I call it. It's their own community. It should be respected and honored. A lot of war veterans from 1812 and up. And since the cemetery was erected in 1851, I was curious, how did some of these headstones that were dated before 1850, how did they get there? And after talking to a few people at the cemetery and the workers and the groundskeepers who wanted to remain anonymous, and that's fine, in the stories that came from this cemetery and from the crypt, the vampire crypt, is quite chilling. There are some people that say there's not a vampire in this crypt. There are not witches buried at the witch's circle. It's not a tombstone-eating tree. Why aren't there names on the vampire crypt? I'll be right back after these brief messages.
Ghost stories are always scarier when they're told by the very people who experience them. Hi, I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And we're the hosts of the Homespun Haints podcast.
We talk to people just like you who've come face to face with ghosts, demons, haints, and other strange paranormal phenomena. All of it makes for a chilling good time.
So grab yourself a sweet tea, turn off the lights, and listen to some eerie, true ghost stories on Homespun Haints, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not scared. Are you?
Before I get into the stories of the tombstone-eating tree, the witch's circle, and the vampire crypt, let's kind of define a cemetery from a graveyard. After talking to a few groundspeople there, these graves that were moved there after the cemetery was built were from other cemeteries or from graveyards. And a graveyard is church grounds that are set aside for burials. And when you have an overabundance of bodies at the church, or the church shuts down and the bodies are still there, or you have, in some cases, bodies on top of bodies on top of bodies, not just at church graveyard sites, but also at private homes, you know, up underneath that old oak tree that sits 20 acres back on a farm, you know, those bodies are the family. And say that family moves out of their home, the new owners either plow the bodies over or put the bodies in a cemetery. That's what basically separates a graveyard from a cemetery. And now you have Going Green popping up. You know, people want to be buried going green at these green sites. Your body's just wrapped in a cotton fabric and put into a wooden box. No vault, no expensive caskets. In some cases, your body is just placed in a wooden box, not wrapped up. And in other cases, the body is placed in the ground. The purpose of this is that your body and the wood will all evolve back into the earth. No tombstones. It's just a small rock. Basically, they would like a wooden cross, but their statistics show that after usually 20 years, people stop visiting that burial site. So why not go green and let the bodies go back into the earth? So that is going green, a cemetery, and a graveyard. Most people before 1850 were buried in graveyards. And those graveyards are kind of set up like going green. You know, a lot of these bodies were just put in the ground or in a simple pine box. And like I said earlier, these bodies were moved, some of them, to a cemetery. And that's what I came across at the Erie Cemetery in Erie, Pennsylvania. I was so intrigued by this cemetery that I actually went back a second time. And please go to Facebook page, Ghost in the Valley podcast. I do have pictures on that page of what I will be talking about in a few minutes. So you will see the vampire crypt, the witch's circle, and the tombstone-eating tree. Basically, there were a lot of graves buried near trees And what happens is after 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, these trees grow. They grow, you know, and next thing you know, they're overtaking that tombstone. So what do? You're left with the dilemma of, do you cut a 200-year-old tree down, or do you remove the body again to another site? A lot of the events that happen in the cemetery happen around the sites where bodies have been moved. I do want to also point out, please do not go to these cemeteries and vandalize these headstones or show off to your friends that there's no vampire that's going to get you. There's no witch in that ground. You're treading on very shaky ground here. Please do not destroy these headstones or vandalize these cemeteries. Erie, Pennsylvania is one of the first cities to designate a portion of property to be used as a public cemetery. There are three cemeteries in Erie, Pennsylvania. This one is not the oldest. It's one of the most popular, especially with paranormal enthusiasts, with the three sites I just mentioned. Like I said, it houses over 50,000 graves. It is massive. It's beautiful in the fall. It's beautiful during the year. I mean, people walk through the cemetery. They pray. They write. During the fall, it's just gorgeous. One of the first sites I visited at the Erie Cemetery was the Witch's Circle. Like I say, please go to the Ghost in the Valley podcast page on Facebook and check out these pictures. There are two tombstones in the circle that are burnt. People have tried to clean this headstone, and you can't get these burn marks off this tombstone. Now, according to some people, there was a severe thunderstorm, and the lightning struck the tombstones, and that's what caused the burn marks. Other people claim that during the Salem witch trials, these bodies were moved here, and they were witches. So the devil came up and took the bodies back to hell. And that is what caused the burn marks on these tombstones. Also at the same site, people have seen a coyote run through the cemetery near the Witch's Circle. I didn't see a coyote while I was there. What I did witness at this Witch's Circle in the daylight, there was a very loud growl right behind me. I mean, very deep growl. There was nothing around me. My wife was with me, and she elected to stay in the car. She wasn't comfortable at these sites. Right next to the Witch's Circle is an old oak tree, and it is overtaking a tombstone right next to it. And there's pictures there. The tombstone is very small. I also took pictures of other grave sites that were right next and starting to go into the base of the tree. Like I said earlier, what are you going to do with these trees that are old, huge? Do you cut the tree down to save the tombstone, or do you let the tree overtake these tombstones? Those two sites alone was, in my opinion, kind of chilling because I didn't see, like I said, I didn't see an animal near me, but the growl was very, very there. It was there. There are sections of the cemetery that you can go online. I will not put them out on this podcast, but you can go online and check out to see which section the vampire crypt is in, and also the tombstone eating tree and the Witch's Circle. The Witch's Circle confused me because there's a lot of tombstones in circles in this cemetery, and some of these tombstones date back before 1850, so they have been moved here. In the crypts, you have multiple bodies in these crypts. And the crypts are also on my Facebook page, Ghost in the Valley Podcast. When I visited the vampire crypt, and it sits back up on a little hill, and it's buried in the front in the open, but the back end's kind of buried into the hillside. It just looks wicked. I don't know how to put it. I spotted the vampire crypt before I even knew it was a vampire crypt. I knew that was it. I just knew it. There's a sign that says, "Do not enter." Now, I'm assuming that sign meant because you have to go up around this little hill. It sits up on a hill that if one car is coming one way, another car is going another way, both of you are not going to make it around that circle. So you don't enter the one side. That's what I was taking from that, not do not enter. But I might be mistaken. Maybe it's do not enter. They don't want you up there. I do know they stopped their ghost tours through the cemetery this year. Some say it was because of COVID. Others say there's too much vandalizing that's going on in the cemetery, especially around Halloween. So they close the cemetery down around 5 p.m. I was there before closing, and I got great pictures from the vampire crypt. Not only is there a padlock on the door of the crypt, there's a gate padlocked on the crypt, and there's an outside cage door padlocked on the crypt. They don't want you going in there. One of the grounds people I talked to said, as far as he knew, nobody has been inside that crypt since 1899. But other stories I've gotten from the crypt is, yes, they have been inside the crypt because there have been people that have broken into the crypt and they have lost their lives, according to legend. What also intrigued me about this crypt, if you look above the crypt, it's a darkened marble slab. It looks like there was a name inscribed on this crypt, but that has been taken out. In my opinion, most of these crypts that are built are with people who have money. You know, so these people that have money are inside this crypt, and they move other people of their family in the crypt with them. It is said there are 7 bodies in the vampire crypt, 5 in which they have documented that they know who they are, and 2 they don't. Now, the first body that was put into the crypt was G.W. Goodrich, but several others would soon join him there, which had been exhumed from a nearby non-denominational cemetery and moved into the crypt, and they were also Goodriches. Let me point out that the crypt by cemetery records is owned by Gertrude Brown, but Gertrude is not in the crypt, according to the Erie Cemetery records. It's 5 Goodriches and 2 other bodies they don't know. But the records are incomplete. They are sketchy. I mean, very sketchy. You have some people who claim they know who all 7 bodies are, and some that say they don't. My thinking is, if these prominent members that are buried into these crypts, almost every crypt you go by in the cemetery, have their names in bold letters above the crypt, you're basically letting people know the Browns are here or the Goodriches are here. But at this crypt, the vampire crypt, no names are visible on the crypt. I find that very mysterious to begin with. Now, Gertrude Brown, being one of the last of the heirs that outlived most of her family, died very young, between 1870 and 1880. Now, Gertrude was buried elsewhere. She is not in the crypt. Now, some say G.W. Goodrich was the vampire, that when he was first put into the crypt, that within the vault lies the undead body of a true vampire. It is said that the man had journeyed to Romania. He returned to Erie. He died and was placed inside the crypt. Shortly after his death, dead bodies were soon being discovered in the suburbs that surround the cemetery. Each of them possessed puncture wounds in their necks, and their bodies were drained of blood. It was the maintenance man that lived on the grounds. He discovered the evil creature's secret. In response, the crypt was burned, the doors were chained, and the name above the opening was removed for all time. But this is not where the legend ends. The legend also says to be very cautious around this crypt. Do not try to destroy this crypt, deface this crypt, burn this crypt. Many legends surround this crypt. Many attempts have been made to enter the crypt through the past decades. A lot have not survived their devious deeds. A young man in the 1930s was so determined to see who was in the vault that he went there with a chisel and a crowbar. He entered the tomb, and through this act that took him most of the night, by dawn, he opened the tomb and was just hit with pure stench. After composing himself of the foul odor, he entered the tomb to discover a rotten wooden coffin, a corpse. In order to have proof that he entered the tomb and seen the corpse, he snatched the ring from the withered finger and fled the tomb before the sun rose. This was a young man, some say a young boy. Immediately he ran to his best friend's house and was bragging about how he entered this crypt and he had the ring off this dead man's finger. The boy he told this to swore secrecy, but you know how boys will be boys, and next thing you know, there's a few boys heading back to the other boy's house to, they want to see this ring, you know. Upon their arrival, they were met at the door by the boy's mother, who said that her son was asleep, but the boys insisted on speaking with him. When she went to his room to tell him that he had visitors, she found her son dead. His eyes were still open, and they were just staring blankly at her. His mouth was frozen in a horrified, silent scream, and his ring finger had been ripped from his hand. After the event had been investigated, the crypt again was sealed and chains were placed on the opening to ensure that whatever evil lie within would remain until at least the next attempt of entering the grave. Another story that came from the vampire crypt was another group of teenagers. They organized a party outside the crypt, and the one young man during the party climbed on top of the crypt, knowing that the legend of a vampire was inside this crypt. But while the young man was on top of the crypt, he let out this terrible, terrible scream and tumbled to the ground. Later that evening, the boy was admitted to the hospital. Upon the boy awakening, he began to scream again, which alerted the nearby nurses that something was terribly wrong with this child. But before the nurses could reach the nearby room, the boy climbed onto a window ledge and leaped to his death to the pavement below, leaving both the hospital staff and his friends stunned over this horrible act of jumping to his death to escape whatever evil that entered his mind. If you look at the picture that's on my Facebook Ghosts in the Valley podcast page, you can see some of the images, some of the pictures of the symbols on this crypt. Some say it's the image of a bat. Some say it's the image of a vampire. V for vampire. Others say it's a flower. I will say one thing while I was standing at the crypt. This was on September 8th. The temperature outside was over 80 degrees. Very hot. When I touched the side of the crypt, a cold chill rippled from my top of my head very slowly all the way down to my feet. I don't know what that was. I got spooked standing there. It's a very eerie feeling in that eerie cemetery. The pictures are, again, on Ghost in the Valley podcast Facebook page. Whatever till you believe that there are vampires in that crypt, or one vampire in that crypt, or these stories never happen, they're just legends. There's other crypts in the cemetery that don't have that much security on it. Why does this one have so much gates and steel bars and across the entrance? Why aren't there any markings on the crypt to say who's buried in there? Why is the building even there? It's basically like throwing a body in the ground and you have no idea where the body is. You don't know who's in the ground, what that body's name is. There's no names on this crypt. No words on this crypt. No date on this crypt. Now, talking to the groundspeople that were near the crypt, one told me he didn't have much to say about the crypt itself, only that he gets a very strange feeling when he's working around the crypt, as if somebody is watching him. And then he also said at the witch's circle, a wild dog was coming towards him from inside that witch's circle and actually going to his neck with the wild dog's mouth wide open. At the last instant, the dog disappeared. I fell upon the story while I was in Erie, Pennsylvania. I knew nothing about the Erie Cemetery. Nothing. I didn't know about the Witch's Circle. I didn't know about the Tombstone Eating Tree. I didn't know about the Vampire Crypt. I let a friend know I was in Erie that day. And he said, while you're in Erie, you might want to check out the Vampire Crypt. Well, naturally, that piqued my curiosity. And after talking my wife into going to the cemetery, we made the first trip there. After returning home, I found out more stories from other people that happened inside that cemetery that I had to make a second journey back. It was my second journey back that I was just overwhelmed with the amount of bodies and the sights of these old tombstones. How they weathered from 1850 and before. The elements of weather. It's just a peaceful feeling there. I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it. But I will say this. There wasn't one worker there that I talked to say that they think the legend is false. They treat it with respect. So are those seven bodies in the vampire crypt? Is one of them a vampire? the two burnt tombstones in the witch's circle, are they witches and sent straight to hell? Are these trees eating these tombstones for a reason, or are the trees just old? And please check out, rate, and review Ghost in the Valley podcast on Apple, and thank you for listening. I would like to thank Jabril Amon, Lynn Gibson, Kathleen Valentine, Lindsay Poison, and Amanda Woomer for their articles on the Vampire Crypt that I research from. Please check out their articles on the Vampire Crypt, the Witch's Circle, and the Tombstone Eating Tree. I'm your host, Al Cooley, from Ghost in the Valley podcast, and thank you for listening.